Wednesday, November 10th, 2021. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is going well. Hope you and your family and friends are all doing well at this time. I hope you're enjoying the new fall weather. Maybe it's getting a little bit cooler where you're at, enjoying some nice, crisp, cool evenings. We are happy to have you here with us today, and I've got a date for you. It's not actually today, but I need you to keep this day in mind, because do not forget that tomorrow, November 11th, is Veterans Day. You need to keep that one in the back of your mind, because Veterans Day honors military veterans who have served in the United States Armed Forces. This observance reflects the end of significant hostilities that took place at the 11th hour on the 11th day of the 11th month back in 1918, when the armistice with Germany took effect to end the First World War. The United States then began observing Veterans Day every year back in 1954. Now, don't confuse Veterans Day with like Memorial Day or even Armed Forces Day. Memorial Day is actually set aside for remembering the men and women who have died while serving. And then Armed Forces Day recognizes the men and women who are currently serving in the United States military. But Veterans Day celebrates all United States military veterans, regardless of status. Be sure that you say thank you to a veteran. Hey, we all know a veteran. It might be a family member. It might be a friend. It might be someone you work with or someone you go to school with. Be sure that you say thank you to a veteran tomorrow on Veterans Day. Let them know that you appreciate the sacrifices that they have made. On another note, one other thing that I want to discuss just a little bit. How's that whole daylight savings nonsense treating you so far? You know, we do it every year. We don't even know why we do it. I mean, something about farmers or energy or something. I don't have any idea. We all hate it. No one likes it. No one likes it getting dark at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, but we do it year after year after year. And we know full well that we each have a couple of clocks that they're just going to be wrong until spring. We're not going to go find the owner's manual and figure out how to change them. Forget it. Just know that clock is wrong. It'll be right again come springtime, but I'm not dealing with that nonsense. I'll fix that some other time. And I know that maybe you work with someone or maybe you have a family member that they try to spin the whole positive thing on the whole fall back time change that we have in the fall. And if you're not familiar, if you don't do this stupid thing, every year, late October, early November, we turn our clock backward 1 hour. We don't know why. We just do it. It's how it's always been done. So that's what we do. But we all have that one person in our life that tries to spin, well, hey, we get an extra hour of sleep. Enjoy the fallback. Enjoy turning your clock back an hour. So that would be wonderful if we all just slept in later. But our internal clocks don't work that way. That's not how it works. So what we do instead, we all wake up at the same time that we usually do. And then we look around and go, why am I up? I don't need to be up. I still have an hour. But you know you can't get back to sleep then. And if you do, you're going to feel worse when you get up. So there's no point. We all just walk around like zombies for like a week or two until we start to adjust to this stupid thing. Look, I'm not opposed to turning the clocks back. If I could turn back time. I'm really not. But if we're going to turn them back, can we turn them back to something that makes a little more sense? Turning them back an hour just seems dumb. How about this? How about we turn our clocks back like 2 years before all this COVID crap started? That'd be a good place to start. Or maybe we turn them back like 5 or 6 years to when my Denver Broncos were actually still relevant in the NFL. Either way, that would make more sense than just turning them back an hour. That doesn't do anything for me. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, maybe tell us your favorite part about, I don't know, the fact that it's dark at 4 o'clock in the afternoon now. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at dailydosports. Maybe you've got a question. Maybe you've got a comment. I've had a number of people reach out just in the last few weeks, asking opinions on what about this player? What about this trade? What about this situation? Feel free to reach out to us. We'll always take the time to get you an answer. We just might end up using what you send in on the show. Also, make sure that you're stopping by DailyDoseSports.com every week and checking out some of the new articles that go up over there. I release a Daily Doses article every Tuesday. Usually it has more of a local slant to it, but it could be about anything. And then we have our featured columnist, Young Jimmy, who is posting a new article on Thursdays. You never know which way he is going to go, but you want to be sure you stop by DailyDoseSports.com and check out the new stuff going on over there. Plus, you can always get a link to the video portion that is on YouTube. You can always get a link to the podcast. You can always find a link to the gear that we have over there. Be sure that you stop by DailyDoseSports.com. Speaking of that gear, the holidays are coming quickly. And right now, I mean, you can go to the store, but let's be honest. They probably don't have enough employees to even help you. So instead, just go over to tpublic.com and pick up some Daily Dose gear for those people that you need to shop for the holidays for. And you know, we have a number of designs over there you can choose from. The best thing about ordering from tpublic.com, you can choose articles of clothing in whatever color that you want. So maybe you're looking for a hoodie or a sweatshirt or a t-shirt. Stop by tpublic.com, search Daily Dose, and you can find some Daily Dose gear for the Daily Dose listeners in your life that you're going to need to cover for the holidays this year. Plus, they're always running sales over there, so be sure that you stop by tpublic.com. Hey, today on the show, we're actually going to be doing something a little bit different. We are going to be breaking down the 2021 NFL season at the midway point, and we are going to be joined by a few friends of the Dose to take a look at each team in the league and discuss how this season is going so far. Hey, it's already been a really fun year. It's been a really wild year so far, so we've got a number of things to talk about there. But first, we have a few stories coming out in the world of sports news that I want to talk. Because here's the thing. It isn't just the NFL that has been crazy. College football has been completely unpredictable this year. And this past weekend, we got even more chaos. Last week, if you listened to the Daily Dose, we gave you our Daily Dose top six teams that we would place at that time into the college football playoff. We ranked them as follows. Number one, Georgia. Number two, Alabama. Number three, Ohio State. Number four, Michigan State. Number five, Cincinnati. And number six, Oklahoma. But we told you even then, we have very little confidence in any team in the country except for probably number one, Georgia, who looks just better than everyone else. We also said this, and we say it every year. Do not get too wrapped up in the early college football playoff committee rankings. Because so many of these arguments of who should get in over who, and this team's better than that team, and how did you give it to this team instead of that team? A lot of these arguments are going to sort themselves out. Well, in a season of surprises and a season of upsets, this past weekend in college football, we got, yeah, you guessed it, more surprises and more upsets. The number one Georgia Bulldogs, well, they rolled over Missouri. No surprise there, because Georgia, like I said, looks like the best team in the country, and it doesn't really look that close. But then Alabama struggled to get a win over LSU. Remember, LSU doesn't really even have a head coach. They're firing Ed Orgeron after the year. Ohio State had to grind out a win over Nebraska. Michigan State actually got handled by Purdue, so they're no longer unbeaten. Cincinnati, you know, the team that was complaining, we don't get any respect. No one respects us. Remember, we played Notre Dame. We beat Notre Dame, but no one respects us. Well, yeah, because you play a soft schedule and you haven't been very dominant. But Cincinnati said they were being disrespected. And then they went out and they had to hold on for dear life just to beat those powerful Tulsa Golden Hurricanes. But it wasn't just those top teams. The previously unbeaten number nine, Wake Forest Demon Deacons, they got beat by what has been a very, very below average North Carolina team. And just a week after TCU fired longtime head coach Gary Patterson, the TCU Horned Frogs actually rallied to beat number 12 Baylor. Number 14, Texas A&M beat number 13, Auburn. Unranked Arkansas beat crazy Mike Leach's number 17, Mississippi State squad. Unranked Tennessee beat number 18, Kentucky. And unranked Boise State beat number 23, Fresno State. Hey, that is just how the season is going. You cannot coast. And if you are ranked, there is a target on your back. You might get taken down. It doesn't matter the week. Even on the weeks when we don't think upsets are coming, this season, it seems like upsets are coming. And now this week, we have even more opportunities for shakeups in the top 25. Because check out the schedule this week. Number 7, Michigan, goes to Penn State. I don't have a clue who either one of these teams are, but it should be interesting to find out. Number 8, Oklahoma, goes to number 12, Baylor. Is Oklahoma a team that could be worthy of being in the Final Four? This might help us find out. Number 17, Mississippi State, goes to number 13, Auburn. Number 1, Georgia, goes to Tennessee, but Tennessee has been very hot lately. That might be at least a little bit interesting. And number 14, Texas A&M, goes to number 16, Ole Miss. Now, you hear that last game, you think, well, who cares? But here's what is interesting. Because we're all penciling in Alabama versus Georgia in the SEC championship game, right? But keep this in mind. If Texas A&M does run the table, they do hold that head-to-head win against Alabama. And if you're an Alabama fan, you might hear that and think, oh, no, that wouldn't be good. Well, maybe it would, though. I'm wondering if Texas A&M running the table and going to that SEC championship might actually be the best thing that could happen to Alabama. Because here's the thing. I get the feeling that the Georgia Bulldogs are going to blow out whoever they face in the SEC championship game. If A&M goes over Bama, Bama sits at home and says, hey, we would have played them closer than that. Even though maybe that's not even true. But that's what they'll say. And they could sneak into the college football playoff by staying at home and not getting blown out. Hey, it should be another fun weekend in college football this week. A number of games to keep an eye on. Staying in college football, it appears that Nebraska head coach Scott Frost is going to be returning as the Cornhuskers head coach in 2022. He will have a restructured contract. That is according to athletic director Trev Alberts. He announced that on Monday. For the fourth consecutive season, Nebraska will miss a bowl game as the team has now dropped to 3-7 overall. They are just 1-6 in conference following that loss on Saturday to Ohio State. But Nebraska's new athletic director, Trev Alberts, who was hired just in July, he says despite the bad record, he has seen the progress he expected to see and that it reflects strong leadership from head coach Scott Frost. Here's what Alberts had to say. In my 4 months at Nebraska, I have closely observed our football team and had several productive discussions with Coach Frost. Scott has laid out a clear plan and vision for the future of Nebraska football and has agreed to a restructured contract. Alberts went on, I am excited to continue to work together with Scott. We share a love of Nebraska and this football program and want nothing more than Nebraska to again compete for championships. Now remember, Scott Frost was hired back prior to the 2018 season. So far, he is 15-27 at Nebraska. Now, here is what Alberts is looking at. This season, all 7 of Nebraska's losses have come by 9 points or less. So maybe he's building the Cornhuskers into that team that next year, they're going to start to win those close games. Here is the one problem I have. What if Scott Frost just loses close games? Like, what if that's who he is? There's been plenty of coaches that almost win. What if that's just who Scott Frost is? You know, it must be nice to be retained after all the losing and all the creative ways that Scott Frost has found ways to lose. Hey, I just get a renewed contract. Yeah, they're going to restructure a little bit, but I'm keeping my job. Must be nice. This guy has like the job security of like Nathan Peterman or something. But if you are Scott Frost, how well are you sleeping right now? Because don't you get kind of nervous as soon as administrators start saying they're backing you? I mean, think of some college football coaches who have gotten the old pat on the back recently. Guys like Lane Kiffin or Clay Helton or Tom Herman or Gus Malzahn or Kevin Sumlin or Lovie Smith or Will Muschamp. They all got the dreaded, hey, this is our guy. We feel good about him. We're going forward with him. And then literally like a few weeks later, they were like, yeah, you know what? We can't stand that guy. We want to go in a different direction. He's an idiot. He had no idea what we wanted to do, and we've got to dump him. The very next press conference they hold might be your firing. Scott Frost got the dreaded vote of confidence this week. But I'm telling you right now, he had better start winning real, real soon. Finally, I know it is way, way too early to start talking about the NBA too much just yet. It's such a long season, and the games right now are pretty bad. They're not that interesting. We have months and months and months of NBA basketball before we really start paying attention. In my personal opinion, don't get me wrong, we'll talk some NBA here on the Dose, but the NBA season doesn't start until March Madness ends. Then I'll turn my attention to the NBA. However, we did have a story come out this week that at least caught my interest a little bit. Because the Denver Nuggets beat the Miami Heat on Monday night, 113-96. That's actually a pretty good win for the Nuggets, because the Heat have been playing very strong to start this season. It's a pretty good win. But that actually wasn't the story I was interested in. No, the story that caught my eye was that in the final seconds of that game, Miami forward Markieff Morris threw an unnecessary shoulder into the chest of Nuggets big man Nikola Jokic and actually kind of took him down. Now, Jokic does take a physical beating on most nights, and he took exception to the shot by Morris. He actually ran up to Morris and shoved him in the back. Morris fell to the ground like he had been shot with a high-powered rifle, which, of course, then led to players from both sides engaging in the old NBA hold-me-back behavior. If you didn't see it, you know the drill. Wait until some people get in between you and the guy you're going to pretend you want to fight, and then start yelling, you really want to fight. You don't want to fight when you're nose-to-nose, because then it actually might turn into a fight. Wait until you have some distance, and then start yelling, hold me back, I'm really going to go after and kill that guy. Again, if you didn't see it, Jimmy Butler was right next to Nikola Jokic when this all went down. He waited until there were about 35 people between him and Jokic, and then he started saying, let's take this outside. Why didn't you just fight him right then when you were next to him? But you need to get some people between you. I think that's actually in the NBA playbook. Now, Morris would end up being assessed a flagrant foul too, and Jokic would end up being ejected. But here is where things get a little more interesting. Because following the game, Markieff's brother and Los Angeles Clipper Marcus posted this on Twitter, and I quote, waited till bro turned his back, shake my head, noted in caps. Uh-oh. Kids, we have a soap opera. Is Marcus Morris going to go after Nikola Jokic the next time the Clippers and Nuggets face off? I mean, he might. And let's be real clear about one thing. Both Morris brothers have a history of kind of being a little bit dirty players, taking some cheap shots here and there. The whole league knows it. In fact, I would bet most players across the NBA cheered Nikola Jokic when he shoved Morris down on the ground. But maybe we have a little bit of a rivalry going. I mean, the Clippers and Nuggets are going to face each other throughout the season, and the Clippers actually host the Denver Nuggets the day after Christmas. Maybe that's a game we all need to be watching. Maybe we're going to have a Morris versus Jokic battle. But then there was another tweet that got sent out, and when it did, it went viral. It said, and again, I quote, you should leave this the way it is instead of publicly threatening our brother. Your brother made a dirty play first. If you want to make a step further, be sure we will be waiting for you. Signed, the Jokic brothers. Have you seen Nikola Jokic's brothers? They might be bigger than Nikola. And just looking at these dudes, I'm telling you right now, These Serbian boys ain't nothing to mess with. The Jokic brothers are who the Morris brothers think they are. But trust me on this, Morris brothers, when I tell you this, you do not want this smoke. Go back to flopping. Go back to being an NBA tough guy. It's a whole different situation. The Jokic boys are a different level of crazy. Do not go against the Serbian family. Trust me, I think you're going to end up with way, way more trouble than you want. Okay, coming back, we are going to be joined by three friends of the show. We are going to be breaking down the NFL season so far. We're actually going to talk about the stands being full again. We're going to discuss that crazy taunting rule that NFL referees keep calling, and we are going to begin to break down every team in the NFL and look at how their season is going so far. We will begin our 2021 NFL midseason review when we get back. Joining us right now on The Daily Dose, we are bringing back some friends of The Dose to check in on the NFL season and how it is going. You know, we did our preseason preview back in maybe August or September or whatever, and we said then, let's get together again at the midway point of the season and see how our predictions had done so far. Well, here we are. So let's introduce the members of our esteemed panel today. First up, we have Big Rob, West Virginia Mountaineer and Philadelphia Eagle fan, who is the sitting president of the Daily Dose I-Team. Welcome back to The Dose, Rob.
Good to be back. Always a pleasure.
Mike from Castle Rock has joined us a number of times to talk all things sports. Mike is, of course, trying to get through this Denver Broncos season. We don't know what to expect from one day to the next. But, Mike, it looks like you're out on the range. You're roping some cattle or something. You got a good look.
Yeah, enjoying a fake scenery. It's a beautiful day back there.
You know, it was a beautiful day in Denver in general.
It absolutely was.
We are in the fall, and you can't get much better than Denver in this time of year. Finally, we have the old pro and another Denver Broncos fan, Larry from Centennial, returns. Larry, welcome back to The Dose. It is always fun to see you join. Larry's feeling good today.
Thank you, Clint. Always good to be here. Can't wait.
Hey, the 2021 NFL season is rolling along, gentlemen, and we are seeing a number of different stories emerge so far. You know, I want to drill down eventually on each team and kind of walk through each team, maybe look at some surprises, some disappointments, maybe hand out some season end awards and that kind of thing. But first off, let's look at a few of the bigger things that have taken place so far in the NFL season. And you know what? Week 9 is a perfect example of how crazy things get in the NFL, because on any given Sunday, anything can happen. And we absolutely saw that this week in the NFL. But first off, after all the weirdness last year, we're seeing full stadiums back again this year. We're seeing a much more normal season again in 2021. I know every once in a while you'll have somebody out, you know, COVID or whatever, but for the most part, we're seeing more of a return to the normal. Who here has been to a game of some kind?
Yep.
Mike, Larry,
yep.
Mike, you've been to Bronco games, I'm assuming.
Oh yeah.
How is the atmosphere at the game? Is it crazy like we thought it might be? Does it feel more normal?
You know, it's obviously the home opener, which was week 3, there was an air of excitement because of, you know, last year basically being non-existent for the fans.
Sure.
You know, obviously been kind of waning, but that's not necessarily that's mostly because of the product on the field, not necessarily because of the excitement. You know, the 16,000 no-shows at the last game, that's simply because of the product on the field, not necessarily because of anything else going on.
Sure. Larry, you've been to Bronco games too, I'm assuming.
Yep, been to a few of them, and yeah, agree with Mike. It's really fun to get back into the stadium. You know, same old, kind of. It is disappointing that the product is not better, especially at home. I mean, sure. You know, we had those games with, and I did not go to the Washington game, but I heard about it. It was a debacle at the end to try to give it away, right? And right. But that Raider game was brutal, you know, and even Baltimore, we, you know, it was a winnable game. It just, you know, the product wasn't there. So, but it's really fun to be back. The stadium, you know, we go through this at Denver anyway. with the weather, it's been super nice. So it's people really have nice. Other things to do. You know, we do have a few no-shows, but I think that happens all the time.
Rob, you haven't been to any games yet, but if I know you, you're probably planning on attending at least some college games or maybe some NFL games later in the season. What do you got on the agenda there?
Yeah, I plan on catching one. I picked up a weekend gig, and so just haven't been free on a Sunday. But I can't wait to go. Have caught a couple of concerts. So just, being around people again, that just excitement that you get, definitely looking forward to it.
You know, I went to Colorado State's homecoming game. Obviously, Colorado State is not the football, powerhouse, but being in the stadium, bunch of kids and just the excitement there. And when the cannon gets fired and everybody jumps and just seeing a packed stadium. And I hadn't been up to Colorado State to their new stadium yet. The new stadium is really fun. It's a smaller venue, but it's really, really fun. There's not really a bad seat in the house. And so just getting back in there, getting that excitement, and you could really feel it that day, packed house and people going crazy. It's really, really fun to have that back. You know, prior to the season, we saw some new rules coming from the NFL. And I think the one that we have to talk about, the one that is affecting things the most, is that no taunting rule. I am hoping that the referees are just calling this early, that they'll taper it off and kind of back off the further into the season that we get. But anyone here a fan of the no taunting calls? I think we understand it. I just think sometimes we're asking a lot of these refs to have to call the no taunting stuff.
It's way too much of a judgment call.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That is my problem with it, is you're asking a ref to judge pass interference and watch the line of scrimmage and watch a hold and watch it. And also see if this guy, pointed and said something mean. Seriously, can we maybe not ask these 65-year-old elderly men to make this many calls? It just seems like a lot to me. I don't know. Don't they have enough to do?
They do. It's inconsistent, right?
Yes, and, that's my problem.
And there's nothing wrong. Those mics catch, some things going on here and there, but those guys are talking. I have a problem with it. But I'm reminded of the time Von Miller gave the guy the hand to help him up and then pulled it back, right? And they flagged him 50
years. And they flagged him for it, yeah.
Come on. Yeah, some of this stuff is silly. just taken away from the fun of the game. I'm sure for the players, for sure.
Well, and Rob's a Philadelphia Eagles fan. Philadelphia will throw grenades at Santa Claus. So he knows what those kind of things are about. Like, Rob gets it. You understand that sometimes taunting is just part of the game, right?
Yeah, definitely part of the game. Like I said, I really don't see the point of the rule in the first place. I mean, little trash talk. I mean, I think everybody kind of enjoys that. Same with the touchdown celebrations. I mean, that's part of the game that, people enjoy, get hyped up for. So I don't like it.
I don't either. We saw some moves this past week at the trade deadline. The Los Angeles Rams made a deal for Denver Bronco linebacker Von Miller. The New Orleans Saints did not make a deal for a new quarterback, despite the fact that Jameis Winston went down with a knee injury. And the Tennessee Titans went out, and instead of making a big move to replace injured running back Derrick Henry, they decided that it is now 2007, and instead they signed running back Adrian Peterson. Mike, you were a fan of the Von Miller trade, maybe? How did you feel about the Von Miller trade?
I think the timing was just about perfect for it. In years past, I might have been a little bit more upset as a fan, but on the business side of it, I think it made sense on both sides. He most likely wasn't going to be a Bronco in 2022 anyway. And, I think they got pretty good value out of him. So, it, obviously, the Rams are all in for this year. I don't think they have a first-round pick till, 21-20 or something like that.
It's a long ways out.
They're really, really digging in to get it done this year. So, I'm a Von Miller fan, and I'll root for him with the Rams. So
I will, too. And I'm happy for the fact that he gets to go, chase a ring, and maybe he gets another chance at winning another one. It is interesting. You mentioned the Rams not having any picks. The Rams went and selected Jared Goff number one back in 2016. And then they're just like, if that's what a number one pick is, never mind. You guys just keep them. We don't even want number one picks anymore because that's been a disaster. We're just going to trade every single pick after that. Larry, does Adrian Peterson have anything left to take over for Derrick Henry in Tennessee?
I don't know. I can't remember when he played last.
It's been a minute, hasn't it?
It's been a while. You know, from what they say, he's in great shape, and I would expect nothing less. You know, he was a man.
Yeah.
And I would think that he knew, or, you know, stayed in shape, thinks there might have been, you know, the opportunity to play. So I'm rooting for him, actually. I hope he does well. Yeah. I think, you know, it'd be great. It'd be a great story to have him, you know, be able to run the ball well. And I like the guy. So I hope he does well.
Rob, one thing that didn't happen at the trade deadline that we all kind of wondered, no one pulled the trigger on Houston Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson. Why is no one making a move there?
I think still too many questions. I mean, you know, once you, if you did trade for him and you get him, we still don't know what the NFL is actually going to do. Is he going to be able to play? And just, there's still so much surrounding that situation that, you know, I would agree. I would stay away. You know, the talent, he's a, you know, obviously a talented quarterback, but you really don't know what you're getting.
No. And it's really interesting to see this kind of place.
They had a great partner with Miami, right?
Sounded like Miami. It sounded like Carolina. It sounded like a few teams were very interested in Deshaun.
There were reports today that there were multiple teams that offered 3 first round picks and just couldn't get it done. So I don't know what
they wanted guarantees in their fee.
Yeah.
Right. And
And so, how can you possibly guarantee that?
You can't.
No. So that's, and let's be real clear. There's a lot of teams out there like the New Orleans Saints that I'm sure would love to get Deshaun Watson. They don't have a dime. Like, they have no money whatsoever. So they can't go make the move. There's a lot of teams in that same situation. They don't have any money. So sometimes the you know, salary cap does restrict some of the things that you can do. Let's jump into our divisional recap so far at the midway point. And let's start in the AFC East, because right now the Buffalo Bills are sitting on top of the division. They look like at times they may be one of the top teams in the AFC, but sometimes they don't. Let's start off with those Bills. And, you know, my biggest concern about Buffalo this year going into the season was that you went from no expectations now to a lot of expectations. And I really thought early on those expectations were kind of giving them trouble. They lose to Pittsburgh in a game that, honestly, they dominated. On Sunday, we see them lose to Jacksonville in a game that I don't even know what happened there. Now, prior to the season, Mike and Larry and myself picked Buffalo to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. Sometimes they look great. Sometimes they look really, really bad. Mike, Larry, are we feeling good about our Super Bowl pick right now? How do we feel about the Buffalo Bills?
Mike?
I'm still good with it. I think I'm going to keep it. You know, they've had some bumps in the road, and sometimes those are actually good things. You know, they're learning experiences.
Sure.
They're a pretty young team, and you learn while you're going. I still think they're a strong team. I'm still okay with that pick.
Yeah, I am too. Larry, are you still going with the Bills?
Yeah, I'm not going to change off that pick.
Okay.
I agree with Mike. I think the season is a long season.
Yep.
You learn, and that's what they're doing. They'll make it to the playoffs, and then, you know, obviously anything can happen.
I would really like to see them run the ball just a little bit. They can't run the ball very well. And when you've got Josh Allen, I get he's a superstar, and I really love Josh Allen. But you're asking a lot of him when you don't run the ball effectively, and you've got to stop turning it over. They had 3 turnovers against Jacksonville. Those turnovers come back to bite you. It does make you wonder, is Buffalo that kind of team in the AFC? Maybe Buffalo is the only team that can beat Buffalo, but they've got to figure some things out here. Next up, we have the New England Patriots, who have been maybe a little better than expected. Bad news for all of us Patriot haters, but their defense is playing pretty well. And rookie quarterback Mac Jones is improving. The problem for the Patriots, again, they really struggle to run the football. That can be problematic for a young guy like Mac Jones. It would be great if he had a running back back there. They don't have a ton of skill position talent on that roster. They've made some really bad personnel moves over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. Larry, you are the only one on this panel who picked the Patriots to make the playoffs. Do you think the New England Patriots can still get in?
Yeah, I do. I think it's evidenced by what they're doing. I think Belichick is still a good coach, right? He may not have Brady, but he's still a damn good coach.
Yep.
I think their schedule lines up pretty well. Yes, they have a couple, you know, tough games, but yeah, I think it's kind of proven that they're going to be in games. And if they can win, you know, close ones, which they do, yeah. Again, Belichick knows how to win those games, then I think so. And I would still say they're in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think they're playing really well. And if Mac Jones continues to improve, they're going to be tough to beat down the stretch. The New York Jets were finally feeling a little bit of positivity going into the season. They had a new head coach. They had brand new rookie quarterback. Zach Wilson was going to be the guy to turn this around. And then the game started and all that excitement went right out the window. Zach Wilson has looked mostly terrible. He is now out with a knee injury, and the backups that have come in have actually looked better than he ever did. Rob, when Zach Wilson comes back, is this his team, or are the Jets going to look at one of these other guys? Because Mike White was looking real good before he got hurt.
I don't think so. It's the Jets. I mean, who knows?
accurate.
Yeah, whoever it is, I don't think it matters. I do have some questions about the coach. I mean, I like the hire in the beginning, but as we've seen it play out over the season, I'm not as confident, you know, as I was early on. But I mean, they're kind of what we expected. It's still the Jets.
It is still the Jets, and they're not very good. I'll give them this for Robert Saleh. It seems like they play hard. They're just not very good. And especially when you're getting terrible quarterback play and you're getting a lot of turnovers and that kind of thing, it's really, really tough. Yeah, you said it right there, though. It's the Jets. Who knows what in the world they're going to do? They might have a bizarre quarterback controversy. Finally, in the AFC East, we have the Miami Dolphins, who are honestly in the running for the disappointment of the year right now. The Dolphins were looking like they were on the edge of becoming like a playoff team. The defense was really good last year. They just need some solid quarterback play this year. And if their offense doesn't kill them, maybe they could be a playoff team. Well, instead, the defense took a huge step backward. The offense still stinks. The jury is still out on quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. And this team is one of the worst teams in the NFL, and it doesn't make any sense to me at all. Mike, you picked the Dolphins to make the postseason. I nearly picked the Dolphins. I had them down and talked myself out of it, but this is a mess. Is there any reason for hope for the Dolphins this year?
It doesn't look good. The way they finished last year, you didn't want to play them last year at the end of the season.
Nope.
They're playing so hard. I mean, trading so many players away, you know, second and third string guys getting their chances, playing their butts off for the coach. Yeah. I just thought it was going to come together and culminate into something this year, and it just has not materialized. Boy, I don't know. I don't see the same thing that happened last year happening this year. I think they're looking at a top three pick.
I think they are too. And I mean, maybe they finally go out and get their quarterback, but again, then you're looking at, okay, well, I guess we try another quarterback and another quarterback. And you do wonder when that cycle finally ends. It looks like in the AFC East, the Buffalo Bills should roll to the division. I think the Patriots are in the hunt for a wild card spot. They're right there. But the AFC East looks like that's pretty much settled. We'll see if anybody else surprises. Next up is the NFC East, which was dreadful last season. The Washington football team won the division with a 7-9 record. So far, it looks like we could have a new champion, though. In first place, we have the Dallas Cowboys, who we thought would be good offensively. They are good offensively, except for when they play a certain team. But the defense has been a little better than expected, again, until they played another team this past Sunday. I'm not sure the Cowboys are truly a contender, but that offense is very, very explosive. They can score points. Up until this past Sunday, the Dallas Cowboys were averaging over 30 points per game. However, on Sunday, we may have seen the blueprint for beating the Cowboys, run the ball down their throat. Larry, you are the lone member on this panel who predicted the Cowboys were going to make the playoffs. You got to be feeling pretty good about that pick. They're in good shape for that, but the Cowboys still have some issues, don't they?
They do. And, I don't even know what to say about today, because I think it was a product of the Broncos playing really well, like best game of the season, right? Sure. Yep. On the road. But, you know, the Dallas Cowboys probably overlooked them a little bit.
Yep.
Now, the Cowboys schedule hasn't been really hard.
Not at
right?
all.
So I think, you know, there's a lot in that 40 points a game that, you know, you can probably kind of reason out. But yeah, I mean, look at the rest of the division. I think they're probably still the best team, and I don't think they'll have a problem. And they're going to make the playoffs. They're going to win the division, and that's that.
Yeah, I think they're in good shape. You bring up a really good point, though, about Dallas overlooking the Broncos on Sunday. Mm-hmm. The first two drives, Dallas drives right down the field. They get to a fourth down. If they're playing the Packers, they kick those field goals and they take those points. Against Denver, they're like, we're going to blow this team out so it doesn't matter. You had one team trying to blow another team out in the NFL, which one is really difficult to do. We kind of overlook that sometimes. And two, you had another team that said, oh, we got rid of Von Miller, so we're garbage now. You had a perfect storm brewing for those Cowboys that bit them hard on Sunday.
Yeah. I think it was super apparent that they were not taking the Broncos seriously. Those fourth downs, you know, kept going for them.
like his preseason.
Yeah, exactly. And the Broncos played a really good game.
And finally ran the football. But I'm wondering, is that the way you beat Dallas? Run between the tackles, smash up in there.
Yeah, I don't know about Dallas's defense. And I think that is kind of really the wild card, right? And so, you know, we'll see next week if they actually did learn anything and come back, you know, a little tougher, right?
Sure.
They got work today.
And I don't know if he was still feeling effects from his injury or the week off or whatever, but Dak was off.
He was horrible.
He was not good.
And he didn't get any help.
It was one of the worst games I've ever seen him play.
Yes.
Yeah, missing his wide open receivers. Yep. There were a couple drops. A
few drops that they didn't help him.
They were not in that game.
And they were unable to protect him very consistently, too. No, Cowboys have some problems.
Yeah.
It's not all gravy.
No, they go to Atlanta next week, and I know Atlanta won, but if they don't look good at Atlanta, that tells us, you know, more, I think, than we know today.
For sure. The rest of the NFC East is really struggling, but next up is the Philadelphia Eagles, who I absolutely still cannot figure out. They beat up on bad teams like Atlanta and Detroit, and I mean, they blow them out, but they'll beat the Panthers. They'll play the Chargers really, really close. They battle the good teams. They almost win, but they fall just short. Rob is our Philadelphia representative here. Rob, can you explain this team at all? Because they're really good on the ground. They're not very good at passing the ball. The defense is pretty middle of the pack. I can't figure out the Philadelphia Eagles at all.
Yeah, I'm going to say coaching is the problem. Like I said, talent's there. I think early on, we just really didn't have an identity. I don't think we played to the strengths of Hurts. It just feels like we don't know what we're doing. Like I said, I'm going to put this on the coaching and the leadership. It's just not they're just not consistent. Like they're just not, I don't know. It's just not clicking. I think the talent is there, you know, or they have enough talent. And like I said, like you mentioned, I think that's why they are in games. You know, they can hang with the top teams, but you know, it just ends up, you know, falling apart.
They are going to be really interesting to watch down the stretch, because if they could figure some things out and they could play to Jalen Hurts' strength, maybe they could sneak in. Maybe they could slip and give the Cowboys some problems or slip through and maybe sneak in for a playoff spot. That's not a team without talent. Like you said, it seems like a team without direction, and they're kind of not sure exactly who they are.
I think it's so hard to come back from three wins.
Yeah.
Right? They're 3-6. I guess kind of to your point, Clint, that there's a lot of bad NFC teams.
So there are.
If they can get on a roll, then maybe they got something going. But man, you know, can you imagine 3-6 and then feel like you have, you know, that you're going to put it all together
right
for the second half of the season?
For sure. We move next to the New York Giants, another team that is not very good, but they seem like they're kind of figuring some things out lately. They've been really, really banged up with injuries. Running back Saquon Barkley, he's got that bad ankle. You wonder if that's just his story every year, if he's just a guy that just gets hurt a lot. The defense has been bad, but it's getting better. They can't get quarterback pressure, which is a problem. The offensive line isn't very good. Quarterback Daniel Jones is getting beat up yet again. And remember, when they had that top draft pick in the first round, they went after a wide receiver in Kadarius Toney, who's really explosive, but they needed to address that offensive line. My question for this franchise has to be, when does Daniel Jones just leave? Because I know there's some ability with Daniel Jones. You can see he's not a guy without talent, but man, he gets beat up a lot. Anybody have anything on the Giants or Daniel Jones?
That's tough. I don't know.
Yeah. And none of us had him making the playoffs. We kind of expected this was where they would be, but to be fair, this past Sunday, they go out and they slipped by the Raiders. So they seem to be improving.
And they almost beat the Chiefs.
Beat the Chiefs and should have beat the Chiefs.
Yes.
Yeah, they're playing hard. It seems like they're getting a little bit better. So, you know, good for the Giants, I guess. We move next to another disappointment. The Washington football team made the playoffs last year, albeit with an under 500 record. But I really liked their defense going into this season. Three of us, Mike, myself, Rob, we picked Washington to get back to the playoffs, basically just by default with the rest of the division. Unfortunately, pass rusher Chase Young, he's been MIA most of the year. And as a result, they have a really poor pass rush. Their secondary is getting lit up every week. Now, quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick, he was lost for the season back in week one. So now it's Taylor Heineke's job. He's not doing a whole lot with it. Mike, we saw this team last week. You saw them, you know, in person. They're not very good.
No. It prefaced it when you started talking about them. One of the biggest, to me, disappointments of the year is that defense.
That defense.
It was looking like a top five defense easy in another year under Chase Young's belt and, you know, learning, and they're just not producing at all. And Heineke, you know, he's kind of a good story type of guy. I don't know if he's the answer.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot of help that's needed out there in Washington.
Yeah.
Not to mention the whole, you know, front office.
And that's a mess, and that could get, you know, really, really ugly before it gets any better. But I'm wondering how much is going to come out and where that's going to go. But just on the field stuff, like you said, Heineke's a great story. He's a scrappy kid. They're just not very good. And man, we watched them last week. Denver tried to give them that game multiple times and they refused to take it. They're like, no, we're all set here. I just can't believe how bad that defense is. Rob, what happened to Chase Young? Is something wrong with him?
I don't know. Or if it's, like you said, just the culture there. Just,
yeah,
you know,
it could be.
He is just one player on the defense. And like you guys mentioned already, I mean, that was the strength. You know, the defense had to play up. You were going to kind of patch it together with Fitz. And then once Fitz is gone, now you don't have a quarterback. And, you know, just the defense can't handle all the pressure.
Is Patrick ever really the answer? Right?
No, he's always a Band-Aid for like a week or two.
For every team he goes to.
Yes.
Yeah, they're 2-6. They're going nowhere.
Yeah. Dallas should easily win this division. We'll see if maybe someone like the Giants or Philly could maybe make a little bit of noise because, you know, like Larry mentioned, the rest of the conference, they've got some losing teams over there. So there's a chance for them, but Dallas should stroll to this win. Okay, coming back, we have covered the AFC and NFC East. When we get back, we are going to jump into what might be the most competitive division in the NFL right now. We will continue our 2021 NFL midseason review when we get back.
Breaking news. This important PSA is brought to you by Manscaped.com. This is your pubic service announcement and the news you've all been waiting for. The Manscaped engineering team has confirmed that they have successfully created the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, which is now available for purchase in the USA and Canada. This new trimmer was just released, and we are one of the first to get our hands on it and share the news. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free shipping with the code 20DOSE. That is 20DOSE at manscaped.com. Daily Dose host Clint Daly is one of the first people to try the new 4.0, and we have been blown away by the performance. The craftsmanship and details on the 4.0 are next level. There are no nicks or cuts when using this new trimmer. There's no blood on your bathroom floor or Band-Aids being put on strange parts of your body. Show that mower off loud and proud. The optimized Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer is waterproof so you can groom in the shower and not have to worry about making a mess on the bathroom floor. If you're still trimming your face with the same trimmer as you use to trim other areas, it's time to make some changes in your life. And you know the best thing about trimming the bushes. It makes the tree seem larger.
Wait. We don't need to go into all that. I mean, you just read the ad. We don't need that commentary about trees or bushes or flowers or any of that.
I'm just saying that every little bit counts.
I'm just saying we pay you to read the ad. You don't need to add your own thoughts to the ad.
You barely pay me at all.
Can you just finish the ad? Finish the ad as we wrote it, please.
Fine. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code 20DOSE at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. and use 20 Dose. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
Let's move to a division that we thought would be competitive, and it's really, really competitive because every team in the AFC North legitimately has a chance to make the postseason. We start with the Baltimore Ravens, who have been hit really hard by injuries, but quarterback Lamar Jackson, he makes them a contender because the Ravens can score with anyone. Unfortunately, they can't always stop anyone. When the Ravens lose, they usually get torched through the air. Lamar's good, but he can't play defense too. Rob, how big of a believer should we be in the Ravens this year?
I'm still a believer. I know they have, you know, they've had some last minute wins, victories, but it's not the kind, doesn't feel lucky to me. I mean, it feels almost, I don't want to say a team of destiny, but it does feel like, you know, there's something there. And kind of like we talked about the first time, Lamar's been a little bit better with the passing. Marquise Brown has come around a little bit, which I still think is the key. I mean, I still think they'll be able to run the ball. You know, they've had a ton of injuries at running back, but they can still move it on the ground. And if Lamar can throw, or, you know, if it's in a game and he's on and he's, you know, connecting with his passes, they're still dangerous, I think.
They are dangerous. And you bring up a good point in how good they run the ball. They're running the ball hides some of the things they don't do so well. And sometimes it hides that defense, because sometimes that defense, especially in the passing game, isn't as strong. But because of what Lamar can do, they can still be very, very sneaky.
That's a philosophy too, because name their starting running backs from the preseason.
Who knows?
And we're talking about they've had several miracle comeback win. You know what? But good teams find a way to win those games.
Yes, they do. Yeah, they absolutely do. And they are finding ways to win. And they won another this past Sunday, you know, going right down to the wire with Minnesota and finding a way again to eke out a win. The Pittsburgh Steelers are up next, and they're a team that I'm kind of struggling to figure out. They beat the Bills. It was kind of fluky, but they did it. They beat the Browns. Again, kind of seemed a little bit weird. They don't seem to be able to beat the really good teams, though. Ben Roethlisberger doesn't seem like he's able to throw the ball more than like 10 or 15 yards. Now, Rob, you are the lone member of the panel to pick the Steelers to make the playoffs. Are you confident in Pittsburgh getting in? Do you think Pittsburgh can still do this?
I'm not confident, but I think they may still get in. Kind of like you mentioned, Roethlisberger, I think, is the problem. Feels a little Drew Breesy, just where the arm is going, you know, and is not ready, you know, to admit that it might be time. But it's, you know, it's still it's a tough team. I mean, it's the Steelers, you know, so they're going to be in every game. They're going to come to play. So they might sneak in, but if they do, it'll be despite Roethlisberger.
Yeah, because there's only so much you can do to hide what he can't do. Defensive backs, no, you can't throw it back here. I can cheat up all I want. You don't have the arm to get it this far. So, yeah, I think the Steelers are a good middle-of-the-road team, like a lot of these teams are. But if they play the big dogs, I just don't see how they can possibly eke out a win. Next up is the Cleveland Browns, who have been a little bit of a disappointment, at least to me, because we were kind of thinking maybe Cleveland was going to be a contender this year. There's a lot of talent. Right now, they're just hoping to get into the playoffs. I'm starting to have some concerns about this team because they look good on paper. They don't always show it on the field. I kind of wonder if they have like an identity problem. Like Baker Mayfield, you know, he's coming from Oklahoma. He thinks he's going to be this passer. He's going to fire the ball over. Just run the ball. Just give the ball to Nick Chubb and get out of the way. Stop trying to do that kind of nonsense. This last Sunday, they go out and everything works against the Cincinnati Bengals. They get a big win. Larry, now the Browns are dumping wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. Will that fix him? Was that the problem?
Well, it certainly did on Sunday.
Yes, it did.
Baker Mayfield played better. Chubb is back in the lineup.
Helps. Right?
He was out for a while. The defense, I think, played better. I mean, Cincinnati's no joke, right? They've proven up to this point. And so I think that was a big win. But, you know, your earlier point is, yeah, this is a congested division. But I think Cleveland's on to something. I think they'll probably trend up. And I don't think it hurts them to have Odell Beckham Jr. leave. You know,
I don't either.
I don't know what happened. I don't know that anybody knows what happened except for the fact that, you know, the dad sent a video that showed Baker Mayfield, you know, not throwing to him, you know, your classic wide receiver, you know, diva type stuff. So I don't think it hurts him not to have him on the team. And with a great running game, I think they're in it. I mean, they're, you know, they're one game behind Baltimore. So, yeah, they got a shot.
Yeah, they should be right there. And we'll see if they can kind of get this going. And maybe, you know, it's just addition by subtraction, getting rid of Beckham. The Cincinnati Bengals are one of those teams that has kind of surprised us, because after they lost quarterback Joe Burrow last year to an injury, he's back this year. He's playing well at times, because sometimes the Bengals look really good offensively. Mm-hmm. Other times they're really, really inconsistent. They go into Baltimore. They beat the Ravens. They lose on Sunday in a game to Cleveland that really wasn't even that close. Mike, I know that we're both really big on quarterback Joe Burrow. Are the Bengals a contender for the postseason? I know they're not a Super Bowl contender, but can they keep Burrow healthy this year and make it into the playoffs?
I think they may be 1 year away, and we keep harping on this, but with those four teams in there, I give them the fourth best shot of making the playoffs, and I just don't know if they can leap one of those other teams in there. Maybe Pittsburgh, if they, you know, if they start to slip a little bit, but Pittsburgh has such a strong defense. I don't know. That they may just be a victim of being in a really good division. I think they can win 7, 8, maybe even 9 games. Making the playoffs, I just don't think it'll happen. I think they'll fall just short.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm thinking too. And the thing about being in that tough division, it's really cool because it tests you and you find out, are we really that good? It also beats the crap out of you. And sometimes you don't have anything left as you come down the stretch. And, you know, as good as Cincinnati has looked, Joe Burrow is still getting hit. They didn't address that offensive line probably as much as they should have. And I love what Ja'Marr Chase has done this year, but he's still taking a lot of hits. And I'm really hoping that they can keep him healthy and that he can actually make it through the season. I think the Ravens should win this division, but it's tough. They're going to get beat up. We're going to see if they can hold on. We're going to see if the Browns or the Steelers can make a run at this. The North is going to be really, really fun to watch. Let's move over to the NFC North, where we have some really interesting things happening, because this was starting to look like a runaway. I think it's still going to be a runaway, but it might get interesting because the Green Bay Packers are on top of the NFC North. They were looking like the best team in the NFC. Aaron Rodgers is just so good. He's one of those guys that just lives to spite people, and he's petty and he loves proving people wrong. After starting the season with that horrible blowout loss, the Pack have been on fire. However, Aaron messed up.
You done messed up, Aaron.
He comes down with COVID. Now there's a big controversy about whether or not he got the vaccine, whatever. That's his deal. I don't really care. But Rob, the Packers are not the same team without Aaron Rodgers. We all picked the Packers to get into the playoffs. That's not the surprise. But with Aaron, they looked like the top team maybe in the conference. Should we even be surprised that Aaron Rodgers is that good anymore?
I don't think so. Like I said, he's been that guy for a long time. And, you know, we just talked about Roethlisberger, but Rodgers is the opposite. I mean, the arm strength is still there, you know, still commands, controls the field. So, yeah, I mean, that's still the team by far.
Yeah, he's just so good. And I know that's a mess up there with that whole situation and him being out and missing time. And there's a lot of controversy, but when he is on the field, he is just so good. Really tough to pick against the Packers. And I'm guessing he's only going to miss maybe one more week. He might be back next week. And if that's the case, the Packers are going to be very, very tough. The Minnesota Vikings, they seem to just roll out the same idea every year. And they hope that this time maybe it'll work like it, you know, it never does, but they think it will. But the Vikings are at least in the hunt for a playoff spot. It just kind of seems like the same story. The offense is good when they protect quarterback Kirk Cousins. When they can't, the offense is terrible. The defense is very middle of the pack. So Kirk Cousins has to carry this team a little bit. Mike, you are the only one here who picked the Vikings as a playoff team. Do you think Kirk Cousins is going to prove he is able to carry that team into the postseason?
Well, you kind of hit the nail on the head there. Can they protect him? You know, he's a very good, not great. He's a very good quarterback when he gets the protection.
Yes.
He's got talent around him. You know, they've beat some good teams. They took Baltimore to overtime today. You know, they're in the games.
Yeah.
Not as confident, but I think I give them a shot to make the playoffs still.
Yeah, they're at least going to be in the hunt. You do wonder, at one point, does Kirk Cousins really start earning that paycheck? Because you're getting paid a lot of money. Can you lead this team that, like you said, has some offensive tools? They've got some talent.
Well, and losing Danielle Hunter hurts too.
Yeah. And the, and that offensive line just is not great. They haven't, you know, restocked it like they probably should have. The Vikings are going to be in it, but there's another team in that division that is also going to be in it. Let's talk about the next, because the Chicago Bears started the season with Andy Dalton. People were kind of, let's see how that goes. But Bears fans were so excited when he went down with that injury and rookie Justin Fields came on. But this isn't the Big Ten, kids, because Fields is taking some lumps. The Bears offense is one of the worst in the league in every single category. And the problem is then you're asking a lot of that defense, which is a good defense, but you're asking a lot of them. If they have a bad week, if they make a mistake, it really, really looks bad. I was the only one on the panel to pick the Bears to make the postseason, so I have to answer for my sins right now. I thought Dalton honestly would last more than week three is the biggest problem. I thought he would be in there for a while. Maybe they could win some games. But I'm thinking head coach Matt Nagy, see, it's got to be red, red hot, because they need to show some signs of getting better and that Justin Fields might be the guy. If they don't show that, I think Nagy's out of a job and someone else is going to have to come in and kind of reshuffle that deck. I think they're in the hunt, but you're asking a lot of a really, really young guy. And you're asking him to do it in a town that is traditionally so, so hard on their quarterbacks. We finish up the NFC North with the Detroit Lions. Hey, I like the Lions. I'll be honest. I do. They play hard. They grind. They work. And they are awful. This team really, really suffers from a lack of talent. It is evident. Head coach Dan Campbell, he's getting these schlubs to play hard. At least, Larry, I know you have a soft spot in your heart for those Detroit Lions. Do you like what you see? Do you like what the Lions are doing? Or if you're Jared Goff, are you trying to step in front of a bus every chance you get?
I think you are, really. I mean, haven't we said this about the Lions for years, man? They just play really hard and they just can't pull it together. And this season is no different. I mean, they're over. Like, if there's one thing you can count on, right, is Detroit just not winning ball games. I mean, they're on this path. Right now, I'm looking at the schedule. Could they be the only team that didn't win a game two seasons?
Maybe. They're really bad, and they don't have any talent.
I know they are. They traded their best player away.
Yeah.
They have a coach who's a rah-rah guy. You know, yeah. I get it. You know, they'll play hard, but they just might not be very good.
Yeah, they're well, not.
They aren't very good. I'm putting the jinx on it. They'll probably beat Denver and go 1-16.
Here's some more good news, because Thanksgiving's coming. So we're going to get to see them in all their glory on national TV as they roll out that national game against who knows, somebody probably just as awful. Every Chicago. Year we have to see, is that who it is? It's Chicago. Oh, yeah. That is a putrid game. Make sure you start your meal on Thanksgiving a little early and don't have to watch that garbage. Can we please shuffle some new blood in on Thanksgiving? Detroit, it's just painful. It's so bad. And I'll give them credit. Usually on Thanksgiving they lose, but they kind of play tough at least. And yeah. I'm sure they will again this year. They're
one national game.
Yes, it's that one game. They'll lose. They'll kind of play good for a while. And Jared Goff will once again break that wishbone and just pray he'll get hit by a taxi tomorrow, because that has got to be absolutely brutal to play for the Detroit Lions. There's not a whole lot of sunshine coming up in your world. Gentlemen, we have finished the first half of our 2021 NFL midseason report, but we still have a lot to get to, because we have yet to get to the AFC and NFC South and the AFC and NFC West. Those are both some competitive divisions. And I also want to get your thoughts on, you know, maybe your pick for the MVP, rookie of the year, offensive player of the year, that kind of thing, coach of the year, surprises and disappointments that you might have. And then we are going to recap and take a look at our picks for Super Bowl 56. I'm going to give you guys a chance. If you want a mulligan, if you want a do-over, I'm going to let you have a chance to do a do-over. Everybody up to join us again next week on the Dose, and we can run this back and get to those other divisions and get to the midseason awards.
Oh, yes. Course.
Everybody's good. Thank you guys very much. As usual, I appreciate y'all being here. The NFL season has been unpredictable as usual and really, really exciting as usual, but I'm looking forward to having you guys back next week, and we will jump back in to our midseason review.
Clint, thank you.
Hey, next week in the Dose, we need to finish up this 2021 NFL midseason review. Our esteemed panel will stop by again to finish covering each team in the NFL. Plus, we're going to be handing out some midseason awards. Who is our MVP so far? What about the Rookie of the Year? What about the Coach of the Year? Plus, if we got to re-pick Super Bowl 56 right now and change our picks from what we picked at the beginning of the season, who would we pick? Number of other teams out there that we might want to change our pick and take a bit of a mulligan on. So be sure that you check out the Dose and be sure that you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to the Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for subscribing to our YouTube channel, for going over to Daily Dose Sports and checking out the articles that we have going on over there. But more than anything, thank you so much for sharing the show, for sharing the videos, for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.